Just hear those noses sniffling, sore throats tickling too. Come on, it's lousy weather to be suffering inside with the flu. Outside the snow is falling, your fever's at 102. Let's take some Alka-Seltzer and a box of antihistamines too. We'll bring some Kleenex with us and sing a chorus or two. Let's let my red nose lead us in a sleigh ride in spite of the flu.
Okay. Are you sick yet? Hello, welcome to HPBB Weekly.
I'm going to send you a version of Oh Holy Night that will make you laugh for hours.
Oh, I'm sure. Welcome to PHPBB Weekly. We're freezing. Luckily, David and I are not sick, but boy, I don't know why they have to make us do final exams in the middle of winter, because it's so hard to take a test with the coughing and the sniffing chorus going on all around you.
Okay, well, let me ask you this. What's your temperature outside right now?
Here, I warmed up. I mean, earlier this week, I had a low of like 36 degrees, 35 degrees. I know, it's colder for you.
Yeah, I was going to say, that is not cold.
Well, when you're in San Francisco, that's freezing.
I see, yeah. It's negative 2 here today. Yes, that's below normal, actually.
Oh.
But, yeah, it's negative 2.
Yes.
That might explain why it's somewhat chilly in San Francisco. I'm telling you, I love this global warming stuff. It's great. These below normal temperatures continuously. I could take global warming for a long time. Yeah. Well,
we're not here to analyze your health. PHPBB Weekly is the weekly live podcast where we talk all about the PHPBB bulletin board software at PHPBB.com from obviously not that cold, according to David, San Francisco. I am Douglas Bell.
And from the Arctic, I am Jacques de Cousteau.
Actually, I'm David Lewis from Mead, Washington. And it sure does seem like the Arctic here with all the snow on the ground. We have over 2 feet of snow.
You should see his webcam.
I did a time lapse of it. It's a record snowfall.
Yeah, really, yeah.
Yeah, we've never had snowfall more than 13 inches in a 24-hour period. Since 1981, we had 17 inches in a 24-hour period, and records have been kept since 1881. This is the most snow in 24-hour period they've ever had.
Wow, and the ironic thing is that you're saying you only moved there a year ago.
Yes, we of course had the second snowiest winter on record last year. Oh. We almost beat the record of most annual snowfall. And already this year, we have over half our normal average snowfall. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, it's mid-December. Most of our snow comes in January and February and March. So we have a lot more snow to get.
I wouldn't know exactly what that's like because where I am, we only get snow once in a decade or so, and that's usually up in the mountains, and it's usually just a little bit. So
I tell you, I moved to the perfect place. This is exactly what I've ever dreamed of right here. I kid you not.
Have fun shoveling. That's all I gotta say.
Hey, I plow. I take my tractor and I plow. That's fun.
There you go.
That is very fun.
Very, very fun.
Which we've had to do. The city is snowed in, basically. That's pretty funny.
Oh boy, that sounds like a lot of fun, yeah. Well, it is our – David wanted us to proclaim this episode as our pre-holiday or our Christmas special or whatever you want it to be here on this episode. And so that's kind of why we were wasting time with talking about this stuff. And except that I think everyone else is also on holiday because we do not have a chat room today.
Not really.
There's no one there.
Very rare.
Boxer Services is listening live, but not in the chat room. So you and I are kind of talking to ourselves. But if there's anyone who would like to join, For you, when you listen to this episode, we want to know we are live every Saturday. We are not missing a single Saturday during this holiday season. Number to call.
Although it appears our listeners are.
Yeah. Well, they have the right to do that.
At least for now. Yeah.
Our number is 724-444-7444, the phone number to call in. Or the call ID number when you call will be 12418. And you can join us on the show live to talk to us. Or you can also come on to our wonderful chat room, which is usually very active, at talkshoe.com. Share your thoughts, feelings, opinions, things like that. We also have the I don't track the unofficial IRC channel anymore because no one has showed up in there in a long time. So forget about that. I actually never opened my show notes, so let me get those up.
Douglas isn't sure what to do without his show notes.
Actually,
in all honesty, Douglas, for once, actually woke up 20 minutes before the show, like I normally do. I normally wake up about 20 minutes before the show as well. So Douglas is like, way overslept. I'm like, I don't really call this oversleeping.
whatever you say, you know, once finals are out of the way, you're like, okay.
So both right, Douglas and I sound half asleep.
Need the show notes because we could properly acknowledge our wonderful sponsor, GoToMeeting, which is helping us out today. All right, help us out produce our show. You have to travel for business but are constantly feeling the wrath of flight delays and other problems? Well, there is a much easier and more affordable way. GoToMeeting, the award-winning service that lets you hold meetings over the internet with people in multiple locations. All you got to do is log on to GoToMeeting.com and start meetings with a click. And instantly, everyone sees your computer desktop on their computer screen, if they remember to wake up on time, which I didn't. It's less expensive and less time-consuming than meeting in person. And try GoToMeeting free for 30 days. If you want to do that, go to gotomeeting.com/techpodcasts for your free 30-day trial. Start doing more and traveling less. Also, I mentioned this on our blog. As you know, we are a member of the Tech Podcast Network, and this year, just like he did last year, the guy in charge of the Tech Podcast Network, Todd Cochran, is today doing a 24-hour podcast. He started, as when we were recording, about an hour and a half ago or so, he's going to be, you know, doing it live on TalkShoe for 24 hours. He's also doing a video simulcast on Ustream.tv. After this show is over, we're going to embed the video stream onto our blog so you can watch it there as well. Essentially, he's going to be interviewing a number of tech podcast hosts over the 24-hour period. He's also, later this afternoon, doing a Tech Podcast Network roundtable and late this evening recording one of his podcasts live on there. And I was hoping to be able to join him, but scheduling conflicts got in the way. No, it is the holiday weekend, so I'm kind of busy as well, so that didn't work out. However, it's for a good cause. Part of what he's doing this for is he's going to be raising money for a charity to support disabled veterans. And for people who make donations, there'll be a giveaway at the end of the 24-hour podcast tomorrow morning. So you should go to 24hrpodcast.com to check it out, get some more information about it there. And all I can say is... If I slept this long after only staying up shortly, I can't imagine having to stay up 24 hours.
it's all about preparation. Get as much sleep as you possibly can prior to doing that.
Preparation in Starbucks, I presume.
Yes. Not fun. Especially, you know what, you can stay up for 24 hours easily, but it's talking on a podcast could be difficult.
Yeah.
So are you joining him on this podcast?
I wanted to, but scheduling did not work out.
Okay, I see.
He's got filled up.
And all of a sudden the chat room is starting to fill up.
Oh, what? Oh, cool. Great. Yeah. Yeah. Well, one great thing about Todd is he's actually in Hawaii. So he's probably a bit warmer, you know. Maybe we should. I mean, it is going to be a talk show thing. There's a couple open chat moments, and I'm afraid I won't be available for them because we've got family stuff. We've got a Christmas tree to decorate.
Yeah, we got a 13-foot Christmas tree.
He's in Hawaii, so call up and, you know, wish him a Merry Christmas properly. You know, Malakaliki Maka, he's the wing to say. And this, I don't know, Hawaiian Christmas Day.
You must be crying. Okay.
The only reason I know that is because my mom loves that song.
Oh, I see.
She had a friend who was from Hawaii, and so every Christmas they do that. She played the ukulele.
I see.
You know about how the ukulele is tuned, right?
Not really, no.
Yeah, the four strings, if you play the four strings in a row, you actually get the tune of, My Dog Has Fleas.
Okay.
Those are the four notes that it is tuned to ukulele to.
Right, yeah. Mm. Not very familiar with that instrument, to be honest.
That's fine. I wasn't before then either. Okay, let's turn to our first piece of business.
Welcome to the SCOFF Evening News. Reporting from SCOFF News Headquarters in Washington, here's your host, Handyman.
I love it.
Hello again, I'm Handyman. Welcome to the evening edition of the SCOFF Evening News. In our latest breaking news, if you're a time traveler, the Bertie Mons election results are in. Bertie Mons was forced into a runoff election between Lyndon Bertie Johnson and Albert Einstein when election results proved no clear majority vote for a presidential candidate. The runoff election results were counted on November 8th, and here are the results. Lyndon Bertie Johnson received 42.86% of the vote, while Albert Einstein received 57.15% of the vote. We go to Alfalfa, who has a report from the field.
Bertie Mons has elected its first ever president, Albert Einstein, who is scheduled to be sworn in come January. Bertie Mons has been free from political turmoil that the Earthlings have been experiencing recently. Albert Einstein released his birth records early in the campaign, stating clearly that he is a Bertie Mons natural-born citizen. Albert Einstein has begun putting together his panel of advisors, including his new vice presidential candidate, 7 of 9, who is also the choice pick from Lyndon Bertie Johnson in the Bertie Mons presidential debate. Albert also chose Highway of Life as the Bertie Mons chief of staff. Albert also met with various world leaders last week, including Ireland, England, Canada, and Spain prime ministers. With your final election report, reporting from the field, I'm Alfalfa. Back to you, Bob.
Thanks, Al, and don't call me Bob. In weather tonight, here at SCOFF headquarters, we have seen the full effects of Mother Nature teeming with global warming firsthand. In the last week, temperatures have dropped well below normal. Local weather stations predicted 5 to 9 inches of snow. However, SCOFF headquarters received more than 24 inches of skiable snow, making this the heaviest snowfall on record. SCOFF headquarters is expected to see 3 feet of snow on the ground by New Year's. Alfalfa has the story.
Reports of record snowfalls have been coming in from all over the northern hemisphere, including this actual Craigslist report from Jane Mayer of Miami Beach.
This is an advertisement for free snow. I can't guarantee that it won't be gone by the time you get here, so you'd better hurry. This grade-A, purest quality snow is freshly harvested from my driveway. I hand-picked it with my pretty much worthless snow shovel. Why buy a snowmaker machine when you can haul away pickup loads of the genuine article for free? Build top-quality bunny hills and snow jumps in your backyard. Host an Olympic pre-trial competition at your home, complete with biased judges and reckless teenagers on snowboards. Coming up on Saturday, I will be hosting a free snow harvesting clinic at 6 p.m., as we are due to receive another 8 to 10 inches of fresh, high-quality powder snow. I will demonstrate the proper shoveling technique for quick and efficient snow removal. Bring your own shovel. Trust me, you'll really want to get it while it's fresh, and nothing beats the feeling of pride you get from enjoying snow that you've personally harvested. I'm feeling it right now. I will throw in a free bag of worthless snow ice melt that doesn't work at temperatures below 15 degrees for the first person who can find my car, which I believe is still somewhere in my driveway.
SCOFF headquarters has been receiving hundreds of reports of individuals offering free snow. It's a buyer's market out there. Reporting from the snow-covered field, I'm Alfalfa. Back to you, Bob.
Thanks, Bob. Well, that's all the time we have for now. Be sure to tune in next time to SCOFF Media for all your news around Bertie Mons. I'm Handyman. For all of us here at SCOFF News, good night.
David, I think you just got snow on the brain. Your brain is frozen.
Hey, when you're buried in this stuff, that's pretty much all you can think about, so it's...
Oh, boy.
You know, what she read...
About time, we got another SCOFF report. You've been following after our election contest ended a month and a half ago, quite frankly. It's been over with. Bertie Mons just became a separate forum on Star Trek Guide, but SCOFF just gave up the ghost 2 weeks before the election.
Yeah. Disappeared on us. Yeah. You know that.
I have been chatting about the idea. You know, Scoff had some good stuff there, and we just heard that's probably your funniest one yet. But the snow thing is pathetic. coming up with a way to revitalize Scoff and integrate it a bit more of our show. Yes or no? Who knows?
they're easy to produce. We just, you know, need to. So all I needed was really Francis to say, "Hey, Dave, let's do one," and then we did it. So that was it.
For the last 2 months.
I know. You know that free snow report that Jade Mayer gave? That was an actual Craigslist ad here in Spokane. I mean, I kid you not. That was the ad.
Yeah.
On Craigslist, it was pretty funny. There's lots of them actually that people are.
Guys are stuck inside with snow. You guys tend to have a lot of free time to get very creative.
Actually, you know, the funny thing is, we haven't been stuck inside. We've actually spent more time outside with the snow than inside. Because, well, you know, of course, we've been plowing. I spent 2 days plowing, basically, because it was coming down so hard. If I don't plow this, I'm not going to be able to move any snow.
Whoever that is must have a brain like mine. You know, when I'm doing something that I don't like or can't really stand very much, then I just start coming up with puns and silly stuff. Which people hate me for it, but it keeps my sanity going. Non-stop. So it's probably what she did. She's just plowing and she's like, oh, I could sell this stuff. I got so much of
it. But that's what people do. They put all kinds of ads on Craigslist. Like, free snow.
Are you going to go to her free snow clinic tonight at 6 o'clock? You should.
Yeah, that would be fun. Yeah. Proper shoveling techniques, hey.
Or this kind of a snow clinic. Your snow looks red. How did you fix that? You're 6 9.
Yeah, so somebody was selling yellow snow. I'm like, oh boy, yeah, okay.
One other thing I wanted to talk about, however, getting a little more serious, before we get into the meat of today's show, I mean, oh boy, I'm going to – as if I wasn't already cold enough, David. You know, I didn't have a chance to get my ice apple cider. Last week we talked about the PHPBBHacks.com. Awards, and of course the awards voting finished on Sunday, and on late Sunday Patrick posted the results, and I linked to them on our blog on phpbweekly.net. And so I just wanted to mention the results. The hack slash mod author of the year is Evil Heart.
Ooh, awesome.
Good timing, because he just became mod team leader too, so.
Well, it's a good choice. He produces a ton of mods, and you can always you know that his mods are going to be the best as far as their coding quality.
Mm. Yeah.
So it's great to see really good mod authors get awards and whatnot and produce a lot of mods. Yeah. Because you know that they're going to be secure, they're going to be compatible with things. They're going to be coded well. There's not going to have issues with them. Yes, everything has bugs. That's really obvious, but they're not going to have security issues, which is important, very important.
Yeah. And also the hack mod of the year is also by him, PHPBB Quick Install.
And Quick Install. Okay.
We talked to me about this last week, but I think this originated as a tool for mod authors and for the mod team more than it was a mod.
Well, actually, it was a tool for the community. I mean, a lot of the mods out there are not just mods, but actually tools. And certainly this was one of them, an unpopular one. And it became one used by the mod team later. But he originally just produced it for the community, for himself,
okay.
And released it for the community to be able to quickly install mods as he was, you know, as for mod authors especially, if you're developing a lot of mods, you need to be able to install and reinstall PHPBB3 often.
Yes.
And, you know, certainly this makes it a little easier. But
yeah, I can totally agree. I mean, quite frankly, I'm thinking about when I was a mod team member, I literally would install a new version of PHPBB2 like 5 times a week. I got to be so good at it, I could literally install PHPBB2 in 90 seconds. I got so fast at it.
Wow, that's Now, PH-53, obviously, it has that little wizard you know, that leads you among, what was it, 6-7 steps, something like that?
Yeah. PHPBB2 only had, like, one single screen, so I couldn't go that fast on PHPBB3.
Now, I could get it in about 60 seconds on PHPBB3.
Oh, wow. You have faster internet. That helps. Because when you have to load 6 different pages, then you have to wait. That adds.
Well, yeah, although I'm running it on localhost. You might not have been running it on your localhost.
I tried that once or a couple of times, but that got a little awkward. That was before I had a faster computer. Doing a localhost on a 366 megahertz iBook G3 with a with one of those 12-inch 800x600 screens.
Hey, that's a dinosaur.
That's how old that sucker is. Was yeah, that was kind of interesting doing it on that. I mean, it worked, kind of.
It's just slow, I bet.
Yeah, everything was slow. I was used to it. So
yeah.
Anywho, and so I love on the forum, someone on our PHP forum, they were talking about, you know, how we pronounce people's names, arguing about that.
Yeah, like Eric.
Someone said evil less than 3.
was that me that I said evil less than 3? Because you said evil heart. I'm like, is that what that is?
I've never said he's evil less than 3.
I think I did because I didn't know that the less than 3 was a heart. I mean, it's, you know, like,
where
okay, evil less
been?
Than 3. Yeah. That was, I remember that. When Igor and I joined the team, I think I said it was evil less than 3.
All right. Whatever works for you. The Styled Template Author of the Year, who better? Scott Stubblefield got the award for that.
Good choice. Good choice.
And he did not.
Talented.
He didn't get the Styled Template of the Year award, but quite frankly, as an overall style author, Scott Stubblefield has a lot. And I mean a lot of styles. I mean, looking at phpabbhacks.com, look on his name, he has 29 styles on there.
Wow.
That probably
Who has the most? Do you know? Can you tell?
By author, probably not. I mean, I could look. No, I probably couldn't tell.
On phpbb3 styles?
No, I'm looking at phpabbhacks.com.
Oh, hacks. Okay.
That's where the awards are.
Right, but I was wondering how you were able to tell how many styles he had.
Oh, because I clicked on his name and it pops up a list of results filtered by things that is authored by him.
Ah, I see. Yeah.
That's how I can tell. So it's just,
Cyber Alien is one with another ton.
Hmm. You'd believe that, yeah. Because he's on quite a bit too. So yeah. So, Stubblefield, good choice. Now, the Style Template of the Year was actually a tie between two of the other big ones. One of them was Black Pearl by Mighty Gorgon, and we've mentioned this before, and we did this a while ago, but we really liked it, as you can see there. And the other was Soul City by Albacosa Nostra. And Soul City was the mod style that won the phpbbhacks.com idol last summer. So Black Pearl is this, you know, kind of this very dark one with the orange glows, which is really it's really cool. It kind of sort of like it glows at you in a way, which we talked about. And of course, and Soul City is this big blue one, I guess. It's kind of like a liquidy style type of thing. Excuse me. I mean, if you have a better way of describing them, David.
Not really. Go for it. Actually,
I've never figured out how to easily describe styles on a podcast.
Yeah, you can't really. I mean, it's too intangible to do that.
Go look at it. Point is,
yeah. Of course, we have links. That's why we have links in our show notes.
Exactly. That's why we have links in our show notes, and you know that's why the internet exists.
So Cyber Alien has 83 templates and styles.
Yeah.
That's including PHPBB2, though.
Oh, wait. Down below, he actually has a list of top 10 hack authors of the year and top 5 style template authors of the year. So that'd be sort of an order of how many they have. So for style template authors, it was Scott Stubblefield, followed by Alba Cosa Nostra, followed by Daniel X, followed by Mighty Gorgon, and followed by Gokin.
Hmm.
And the top 10 hack authors of the year, Prime Halo, Lefty 74, X Reaction, Oxbus, Witcher, Evil Heart, or it says Evil 3 on there, actually, El Globo, Light Bread, Killer Bees 19, and Peter Hick.
It's really interesting to read off a list of usernames on the internet because, you know, they're always weird, unique usernames. I mean, it's not like John and Smith, you know, all that sort of thing. You know, it's really unique usernames, so it sounds funny when you're reading it off.
Yeah.
Yeah, Prime Halo has released the most mods, I think.
Yeah.
That I've seen anyway. I'd say, well, that or Nedka. But Nedka doesn't release his mods on every site. But he has a ton of mods. He very well may have the most mods.
Mm-hmm.
I can't say I've looked at his code. I've seen Prime Halos.
Yeah.
Good for small boards.
Also, the the PHPBB of the year was tarvalonforums.net. You can go on, which is actually, I'm looking at this now because I didn't actually look at these last week. I'll put a link in the chat room for this, but it's kind of cool. It's kind of like a Colosseum, old Roman Colosseum type of thing, I guess. I mean, the way he has to tie it together, it's really
so. Really, I think, I mean, it's kind of interesting. They talk about how this particular award is supposed to be how you utilize the PHPB3 installation. But some of these that they have on here are basically just uniquely styled boards. I mean, that's just a uniquely styled board. It's not really an integration.
Well, looking at this, I do know they've kind of – let me browse around because you do see that they have sort of their port of length, I think. Yeah, they do. I mean – you click around on the links on the top of this,
mm-hmm.
And actually load separate ASP pages, so it's obviously not connected with the forums at all. However, they've still got the consistent theme and the consistent...
So that must have been what they're aiming for, was just that consistent theme, because it's certainly consistent with the rest of the site.
I actually did not... When I started clicking around, I didn't notice that that it's a now separate thing.
I tell you, that Explore the City of Tarvalon, that is pretty cool.
What is Tarvalon, anyway?
I have no clue. I've never heard of it before, but they have a whole virtual city of it, like this 3D city, and you can click on the various buildings to explore them. It's kind of interesting. Anyway, so that, I suppose that would be what they basically gave the award for looking like the rest of the site, being able to...
I will say this, it's very clear that this wasn't a site that was thrown together in 5 minutes.
Yeah, that's for sure.
This is, whoever put this site together has probably spent as much time planning this sucker out as I've been planning on our new PHP BB Weekly site. I mean, you guys are going to love it. I've been all week rethinking the interface and the layout of the pages and all that, getting things optimized. I've been... You're doing things like 3 or 4 times, so.
Ah, that's good.
It's a lot of work to try to make it, nice and clean and seamless and easy to navigate.
And for our listeners, I certainly have not. I have not seen it yet, so I'm going to be just as surprised as all
Why
of you.
Have you not seen it? I gave you the link.
Where? I haven't seen it. I have no idea, but I haven't asked for it either because I kind of wanted to be surprised anyways.
I gave you the link is because I do actually want to get your opinion on a few things.
Oh, okay. Well, you have to send it to me again because I don't have.
I need to get the background to get up there as well.
I found it, by the way, and it's online. It's on the site. I just need to send you a link to it, so don't let me forget.
We'll chat after the show, I guess.
Yeah.
All right. Well, definitely a big congratulations to the winners of the PHPBBHacks.com awards. And so essentially what they get graphics. They get graphics that they get to put on out there to bragging rights. So
bragging rights, yeah.
There you go. Yes, indeed. I wonder if we'll see Evil Arts badge somewhere, wherever he is. Does he have a site? Does he have a website of his own or something like that?
Who? Evil Heart?
Yeah.
Well, his website is phpbmodders.net. That's his site.
Okay, cool.
But although he's still listed as administrator, he's really turned it over to the other administrators there since he became mod team leader.
Mm.
Yeah. He has to devote as much time as possible to PHPBB and yes. not be distracted, so that was good.
Yes, indeed. All right. Well, congratulations all around. Okay, so now we're going to get to the main topic for today. You gave us a teaser about this last week, David, this new thing called UMIL or UMIF or something like that. Talking about a mod installation.
UMIL, driver. Yeah.
Yeah. How do you pronounce it?
UMIL, but yeah. Actually I didn't pronounce it that way. It's a UMIL, I've always said it, but UMIL is kind of interesting.
Unified Mod Install Library. So I was actually in the PHPBB Coding IRC channel this week, and I was sort of going back and forth with Josh, a Jelly Donut, about this whole thing, trying to get it make a little bit of sense to me, and it didn't work very well. I'm trying to figure out what's the difference between this and what you guys are doing with Blinky, but maybe you should start by telling us what the heck it is first.
Okay, sure. Well, first of all, actually, Josh isn't really going to know exactly what UMIL does because he hasn't been working on it. He's been working on Blinky, so he can tell you what Blinky does. but he can't really tell you what UMIL does or how it works and everything. UMIL, Unified Mod Install Library. Originally, it was called UMIF, Unified Mod Install File, but it became a library. It became, you know, a collection of files because of the different possibilities within UMIL. Basically, what it does is it allows mod authors to easily create installation scripts to modify the database. You know how normally you would put in the SQL in your modx file or the text template back in PHPBB2. You remember that? If you wanted to create a table or modify a column or insert a record or whatever it might be, you would put your SQL in that block in the text template or in the modx file.
Yeah.
Now then you would have the do-it-yourself instructions. You'd have, like, for example, if you wanted to install a module, you'd have log into the ACP, go to module management, then click on the location where you want to insert the module, and then select it from the drop-down menu, click go, and then activate the module. You have to go through all those steps.
That was the part when I initially was trying my hand out at PHP BB3 modding that I couldn't understand. That was, why is it that in order to install a module, you have to go into the system area and mess around with this stuff? Isn't there a way to use SQL or something automatically to make a module appear where the author wants it to appear? And if the user wants to change it, then they can do that on your own. But, you know, don't make the user go through all that stuff, because I couldn't understand it, and I was the one writing the mod.
Yeah, that was, obviously that's been a point of, some confusion for both mod authors and users, because, I mean, even I have the ACP add user mod, and it was a struggle for me to be able to write the directions in such a way that everybody would be able to understand them. Mm-hmm. I've done pretty well, and most everybody does understand them good. But you still have the user who's like, I messed up my modules because I installed it in the wrong place, It's like, no. Okay, so we really needed a better way of being able to install modules, and the module management is great. It's really, really nice. It's a good thing, but it can be a little complicated for users who are not that familiar with it or don't really know what they're doing when they're installing modules. But you can't just use an SQL query to install the module because it's too complicated between the left and right IDs and parent IDs. You have this hierarchy, this tree hierarchy with the way modules are laid out in such a way that they'll be ordered and placed in the correct location. So you can't use a simple SQL query, and that's why nobody does it. You have to go through the ACP and use the built-in functionality. So what UMIL does is it makes it so that you just, as a mod author, you use a single line of code. You use you tell it the base name and the class of the module and where the module will be located. UMIL does the rest. It puts it in its proper location and it activates it, and that's it. It's done. So it's very, very easy to install modules via UMIL. And it's a whole heck of a lot easier, obviously, for the end user when they do that sort of thing too, because they just run the script, say, yes, I want to install this mod. The mod installs. That's it. They don't have to do anything else.
Naturally, the UML does a whole lot more than just install modules, but that's just one simple example. UML enables the mod author to run anything that they would normally do in the DUI, do-it-yourself instruction. DIY, I should say, not DUI.
Okay, now we know what David was late last night.
Yeah, so it allows you to do a lot that you would have normally put in the do-it-yourself instructions and also in the SQL queries. Now that's all put into an installation script. A problem that the mod team has had with installation scripts in the past is that to make I've had to make installation scripts before, and it can get very complicated because you still have to adhere by the PHP 3 coding guidelines. That is, although it's not really a bad thing if it includes hard-coded HTML, uh-huh. because it's just an installation script, but it still has to use the language pack. It has to use the language system because translators have to be able to translate the mod, and users have to be able to understand the installation. So that alone made it so that most people really couldn't submit their mods if they created an installation file for it. And if they did create an installation file for it that could be approved by the mod team into the mod database, then they had to spend quite a bit of time on it. It's like, well, if I spent all this time on a mod, I don't want to spend an equal amount of time creating an installation script for installing it. So this really was the motivation behind UML and creating something that was going to be a whole heck of a lot easier for both mod authors and end users to install mods.
Let's start with the mod user before we go to the mod author. If the mod user downloads the mod and it's a UML mod, what do they do to use UML?
What they do is they upload that UMIF file. There is a unified mod install file mm-hmm. along with the UMIL file. They upload those to their server, and then they just run the UMIF file, which is used – the mod author names it whatever they want. Like for my quicklinks mod, I name it quicklinks_install.php. They just upload that to their server, browse to it in their browser, and it says, are you sure you want to install this mod version, blah, blah, blah. They click yes, it installs, that's it, they're done.
And this install is essentially for putting the module where the mod author wants to go?
Well, for the Quicklinks mod, it installs a module, it creates a new database table, and it creates new config items, it creates a new permission, and it inserts the permission into some of the default roles.
So essentially, a mod author using this could eliminate the SQL action from the modx file and do all that in UML.
Exactly, yes. There's absolutely no need to use the SQL action in modx when you're using UML. And another thing is that because of the way UML is designed, it will work with all 8 database types. That means it'll work with MySQL, let's see, 4, 4.1, 5, MySQLi, Firebird, DB2,
everything PHP
everything,
works with.
Everything PHP 3 supports, it supports that easily. So it makes it very it makes it a lot better to use overall because, when you insert an SQL query, you had to make it really MySQL compatible. Anybody else running Firebird or MSQL or whatever would have to rewrite that query to work on their database. And they're used to that, but it's still not an easy task to install mods because of that for them.
Yeah.
Fortunately, there's not that many of them, but there are some. There's enough to actually accommodate.
So then where does this UML file come from? When the mod author wants to create it, what does he do?
There are three things. First of all, there's sample UMIF files. So based on the samples, that's how I created the quick install file. I just took a sample and I did it with my own mod. And it's very, very easy to use. So just by the sample alone, you don't have to read any documentation. You can see exactly how it works from the sample. But in addition to the sample, and there's two different kinds of samples. There's an automatic
a version and a manual version. And because there's so many possibilities within UMIL, we could have 100 sample files demonstrating various possibilities and ways of doing things. But it's so versatile, but it's also easy to use. So those are two great things to have. The mod author can create a UMIF file from the sample. They can read documentation, because we have a good amount of documentation showing a breakdown of the various functionalities and how to use them. So they can do that. That's number two. And then number three, we're creating a GUI, that's a graphical user interface, that enables mod authors to create a simple UMIF file that will basically they browse to the page, and I should show you a screenshot of it. Actually, I'll let you put it on PHP Weekly. But it will, you know, they can select how many new permissions they want to add, what permissions they want to add those to roles or groups, or installing new database tables. And it actually, the table creator is really cool. That means basically you can specify a column and choose a column type from the drop-down menu, because in PHP 3 it's a little different. It's not like varchar 255.
Mm-hmm.
It's they have these other abbreviations because of the way that it works with the other database types, and so it can be a little bit complicated for somebody creating a new database table who has seen the create database schema file in PHPB3. They're like, what on earth does that do? You know, how do I know what type of column I need to specify? And so a lot of people don't use it because of that. So the GUI is going to make it very easy to create tables, to insert columns, to insert indexes, modify tables, you know, that sort of thing. So the GUI will be a third way for mod authors to be able to create a UMIF file.
So essentially, when you're describing this, UMIL as a library, is this like means it has like a bunch of like a classes or functions that mod authors will use to sort of specify the actions that they want their particular install file to execute or something like that?
Yes, exactly. It's you know, obviously the mod author creates the install file. That's why we call it UMIF. It's file,
that they create, but the library itself is somewhere else, or does the library come along for the ride inside the file?
That's something that we've actually been debating within the mod team. It's how it will be distributed, because
so like you could probably either build it into PHP BB3 and have all the things there, or stick it sort of in the end of the file. The mod author edits the first part of the file. The second part of the file is just static with everything that he needs to.
Well, actually, what they would do if they included UMIL with their mod, then they just include the UMIL.php file. That's it. That's the simplest way to do it.
These two files.
Yeah. Now, if you wanted to utilize the full capabilities of UMIL, it does come with template files, language file. It comes with a full set of files, because you can basically use a whole GUI for the installation file if you wanted to get really carried away. Something like the blog mod might use something like that instead of just a simple install this mod, yes or no, sort of a thing.
Yeah.
So, but you can get real carried away and use the entire library, or you can just use the simple umil.php file, which is, you just include those two files with your mod. And another way of distributing it that we've talked about is where when they load up the UMIF, it says if it doesn't detect the UMIL file, it goes, you need to download UMIL from phpb.com/mods/UMIL. They can download it, upload it, and it'll work. That's a good way to make sure that they always have the latest version. But including it with the mod is obviously easier for the end user. Mm-hmm. So there's a couple of different ways to distribute it. We might talk to the developer team about including it within PHP 3.
Yeah. Easiest on the user, if UMIL is tied to PHP BB releases, then all the user has to do is have the latest version of PHP BB and they're good to go. And which they already should anyway. And
right, well,
then it's one less file for the author to have to worry about.
Well, yeah, it's not really that big of a deal to include UMIL within the mod package. So it's obviously not required that it would be within PHP 3. Yeah, sure, that would be nice. Whether that's going to happen, I have no idea. Maybe not. Maybe it will. I no clue. My guess is as good as yours would be. But it's certainly not required.
Mm-hmm.
And it would, course, it'd be just as easy, because all it is, you know, when you have the mod X file, it says copy file X to location X, you know? Yeah. And that's very simple. Copying files, everybody does that. And I haven't seen anybody who has a problem with that. Maybe a very, very new user, but they catch on quite quickly.
Stuff, yeah.
It's the editing of files. It's the editing of files, running SQL queries, doing all that stuff. That's more complicated. Copying files is a piece of cake. So if they only have to copy an extra file, a UMIL file, that's not really a big deal.
And they still have to run it in their browser, right?
Yeah, they have to run the installation file within their browser. So
you need that DIY instruction in there.
Yeah, they just the do-it-yourself instruction I have, it's after all files are uploaded, point your browser to your website forum, and then / quick install on us. Or quick links _install.php, and then it does the rest. And I'm letting the supporters of Star Trek Guide test the mod first. So if you're a supporter, you can go download it from the private support forum. But basically, I've gotten great comments. People are like, "Wow, this is the easiest mod I've ever installed." So that's great. It says great things about UMIL.
Mm-hmm. Now, For mod authors that don't need everything in UMIL, I'm presuming they can still just do an old SQL action in Mod X, correct?
Well, yeah. I mean, that's not going to go away. Mod X is not going to change because of this. The policies really aren't going to change within the mod database. Mm-hmm. UMIL is not a forced option, or it's not forced on anybody. It's just an option. People can use it if they want to, or they don't have to. You know,
try to help create a standard where you have a void right now in the process, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. You know, makes the whole purpose is really a tool from the mod team to make it easier for both mod authors and end users. Mm-hmm. And you know, that was the whole motivation behind UMIL and creating it and
making frankly, it. Frankly, I think it's good. I mean, in PHPBB2, there were a few things out there. I think one of the old mod team members did one of these things to sort of generate an SQL installation file. And that code eventually ended up getting put into EasyMod as well. The name slips me right now, but it's probably a good precursor to this. But beyond that, I mean, an auto install thing for your SQL is kind of just like a fancy, you know, for fun type of thing. Whereas here, this is actually doing things that before this required do it yourself instructions and somewhat
complicated do it yourself instructions
to have a way to do it automatically.
Right. Now one of the obviously the biggest difference is that UMIL, it's all automated and everything that it does, first of all, in the installation. It makes it easier for the mod author to create it. So it's going to be – it's not something that's going to be all complicated and difficult for people to pick up like Mod X was versus the text template that I think was pretty difficult for a lot of people to pick up when they were used to the text template. So it's like, well, if you want to use it, go ahead. We're not going to change any of our policies per se, because UMIL is compliant with the PHP 3 coding guidelines, and that's obviously a requirement of the mod database, and that's, so it's already done.
Yeah. It's a lot easier. Now, we were talking a bit about Blinky, which I guess you guys have decided on the official name of AutoMod.
Yeah, AutoMod, first of all, it is very different from UMIL. I want to point this out first because AutoMod is meant to install modifications that modify templates. So AutoMod will modify templates. It'll modify files, any file really, within PHPB3. So if you have edits within your modx file,
like
it processes those edits. Yes, like EasyMod, exactly. And UMIL, that's not the purpose of UMIL. UMIL runs database functionality. Now, AutoMod will run the SQL within the SQL action block of Mod X.
Good. You wrote in the top of your post here, David, AutoMod Blinky does not perform database changes. I'm like, what? What?
I should clarify that because it does. But
it doesn't
within the
fancy
SQL block
database changes, it just performs the same old SQL queries you've seen in Mod X and Mod templates all these years.
Right, exactly. Yeah, it doesn't do anything special with installing modules or permissions or database tables, configs, anything like that. No, it modifies files, so it processes all your edits. It'll run that SQL block if you have it, and copy the files of, you know, it's, you know, you have the copy instructions, copy this file to this location, and we'll run all those. That's what AutoMod does. That's different from UMIL. Now, AutoMod will have a little bit more functionality in the future, and I'm not sure exactly everything that has to do with everything that AutoMod has right now.
Is there anything in AutoMod that's significantly different from what EasyMod had in PHP-BB2?
I don't think it's significantly different right now. I think it's pretty much the same. It uses FTP, so you can easily FTP up your files. I know it was supposed to keep track of installed mods, but I'm not sure if it does that yet or not. I think it does, but I hate to say yes when it doesn't.
Probably will, because EasyMod also did that.
Yeah, so I imagine it does, but I can't say for sure. Again, Josh and Igor have been the ones most, especially Josh, who has created that almost single-handedly.
Whenever AutoMod is released, then we'll have to get Josh on here sometime in 2009.
Yeah, both tools are very, very close to release.
Yeah,
they're extremely close. I think a lot closer than people might think, but they're both going to be released very soon. So that's good. Good news for authors and users.
This is our last episode to talk about news until 2009, so we'll see what happens if that's that close. So I presume since PHP-BB3, the mod team is only accepting modx files, so I guess AutoMod will only do modx files.
Yeah, it only processes modx files. I assume you're talking about the difference between the text template and modx, right?
Yes.
Yeah, no, it just processes the modx files. And the various modx files, obviously you have different modx files that you can for languages and other styles and things like that. And it will process all of those. But, yeah, it's just modx files.
Yeah, or as the latest version of EasyMod actually came out with support for both.
Yeah, being that PHP-2 is going end of life.
Yeah.
Here in the next month or so.
Yeah, or next 2 weeks. Yeah.
Well, I think it's. Let's see. What they said something about February. So.
January,
I know that,
1st, and then they're only going to do security fixes up through February 1st.
Right. Yeah. So.
When I saw that they actually released a new version of EasyMod with ModX support, I personally was excited, but I really felt like that was mostly the idea that they were probably doing it in order to get it tested by, because EasyMod is, you know, pretty stable code. It's been used for a long time, many years. So they probably wanted to try getting the ModX support out in EasyMod first and to make sure that it's all working fine and good before they port it over to AutoMod.
Well, actually, because the code is so radically different between PHP 2 and PHP 3, both tools share absolutely no code at all.
Oh.
They're very, very different. So neither was ported to the other. Okay. In fact, different people work on one than the other. So
it only works on EasyMod anymore.
Yeah, it's Terrafrost is really the main guy for EasyMod, I believe.
Oh.
And so he's been taking care of that and the releases and whatnot. It's been going through him mainly. Whereas Josh has been primarily working on the auto mod for PHP-3. Josh and then Igor has helped a little bit. Jarek has helped a little bit on that.
And
so
UMIL has been your baby?
UMIL is actually created by XReaction.
Oh.
It is a bit my baby because I've come up with all the concepts for it. I've supervised him on the creation of it, and you know we've gone through a lot of it together and things like that. But really, XReaction is the creator of UMIL.
Hmm. Now, UMIL and AutoMod, is there going to be like any connection or special integration between the two?
At this point, there's not. I don't know. It might change in the future, but right now, there's really none. No need to. I think if there was any, it might be where AutoMod, you know, if they have a DUI instruction or some sort of action like run this script, where AutoMod would give the user
like a UMIL or similar action, where for someone just using a regular modx file, it'll just put up a thing saying to finish the installation, go here. But for Mod X, it'll be like, okay, when Mod X sees that, it'll automatically take the user to that file with it for them to go and run it. It's just like an automatic thing, maybe. That's an idea I might have.
Yeah, I'm hoping that it can be incorporated in such a way that, you know, basically within Mod X, it'll have some sort of instruction that'll tell AutoMod to give the user a link to install the script, or to run the script, I should say. You know, that would be preferable, but it's none of that's incorporated right now. That'd be a later down the road. It's not really that needed. It's not difficult to upload the script and then run it in your browser from UMIL, so it's not an urgent matter, shall we say.
Well, I'll say this, David. When I first read this, I thought it's going to take David a hard time for him to explain it to me so I could understand it, and I understood it right away. I think maybe you should rewrite your announcement the way you described it to me here.
Well,
what does UMIL do? Purge cache, add configs, update configs, add modules, permissions, tables. How am I supposed to know what that means?
Well, actually, if you read down below that, it breaks it down for you. I wanted to put the actions of what it does at the top so that people could easily find, you know, okay, what does this mod do exactly? And those who understand, you know, obviously that's going to make more sense to mod authors. But if you go to
have different ideas of how we see things.
I think so. But what does UMIL do? And it gives you a list of 8 different things that it does. But then below that, it tells you how the end user uses UMIL, how it benefits the end user, mm-hmm. how the mod author uses UMIL, how it benefits the mod author, and then where you go for bugs, feedback, suggestions, and features.
Yeah. Cool. So these, I'm looking at the UMIL page, php.com/mod/UMIL, since it's not accessible from the mods page itself yet. Looks like you guys are still, you can still only get it out of your CodeForge repository.
Yes, currently that's the only place to get it. But it's very close to release, like I said, so. It's possible to get it there now, and we're still working on perfecting it a little bit and testing it and whatnot, but it's close. And we'll likely release some sort of beta to the community or RC to the community so that they can test it before we do an official release of it.
Cool. Definitely looking forward to it. And, boy, now that you've described it, I'm very excited about it. So definitely to keep up the good work. We'll be keeping a close eye on this, definitely. And like you said, if it's that close to release, we'll probably be talking about it before the end of January on the show.
Yeah, probably. That's certainly in the realm of possibilities. So plan on it.
Okay. Anything else that is, since I did not get up early enough to prepare cohesive show notes for today's episode, anything else that is of particular importance or interest that we should discuss?
Not really. Beyond the beyond AutoMod and UMIL, that's really the only new news this week. Unfortunately, I didn't have the news of them actually being released, but they'll kind of prep the community with what these tools do and how to use them. And one of the things that, you know, obviously I posted the UMIL topic in the mod authors discussion forum because I wanted a lot of feedback from mod authors. I'm like, okay, out of everything that we have here, did we miss anything that you guys would need? Mm-hmm. And so far, it really hasn't appeared that I have. So it pretty much takes care of everything that we can tell so far. We're going to be very, very open for feedbacks and suggestions or new feature requests and things like that. But right now, this should accommodate most everybody. This should accommodate at least 99% of people, if not 100%.
Yeah. Very exciting. Okay, great. All I can say is great job. Look forward to the final release. Okay, time for the mod and style of the week, which David is leaving me of the responsibility for this week. So, David, let's see. What do you got?
All right. Guest Time Zone 2 is the mod of the week, and that's by Terrafrost. Link is in the chat room. This particular mod basically auto-sets your time zone in the UCP or for your for the user, okay, it detects your time zone and then sets it automatically if you forgot to set your time zone in the UCP. So basically this is kind of cool because I've wished it was something that PHP 3 does by default, and that's, you know, when you go to the registration page, it has your time zone auto-filled.
Yeah.
In the drop-down menu. But this mod seems to do that automatically. It's a pretty good-sized package. It's, you know, 30,000 bytes, and it takes about 15 minutes to install something, and wow, it must contain quite a bit of data, but he doesn't have a really long description of it. It's basically just says, you know, that's what it does. It auto sets or auto updates your time zone and daylight savings time based upon the time provided by your operating system.
Never figure out why it is. It feels like in terms of time management on these sites, we are still back in the dark ages. You know, you sign in and you have to set your time zone. You have to think, wait a minute, I'm PST. That means I'm UTC minus 8 or that. But wait a minute, it's daylight savings time, so I'm UTC minus 7. And then when daylight savings time starts, you have to go on all these sites and change your time zones that you're actually listed as being in the mountain time zone, even though I'm really Pacific time zone and all this stuff. And PHP does it. WordPress does it.
Well, PHP V3, actually, you don't change your time zone in PHP V3.
You do, yeah. You can set yes or no, but you still have to go back there and set it. So it really is not much different. It just looks a little nicer. But beyond that, you still can't you figure out a way to make this stuff happen automatically?
It can, and I assume that it will in 3.2. And if it doesn't, I will submit a patch for it. But I'm not sure if I can. If I can have a patch submitted for the 3.0.x branch, because it may require too many changes. But it will definitely be something out that either they will submit or I will try and submit a patch for it. Doesn't guarantee, obviously, that it will be in there, but it is possible now. Now, you have to remember PHP 3 was started development 5-6 years ago. So to have something like that back then would be kind of strange, and obviously they never really implemented it, but looking forward now, it's pretty easy to do.
Yeah, well, I mean, PHPBB is not alone. I haven't really seen any place do this very well. WordPress just did this great big update that they did, and they still have this old lame system.
Wow, I'm surprised.
You still have to go back there and change from UTC-8 to UTC-7. And
they
actually right under the setting there, it says, you have to change this manually for daylight savings time. Lame, we know.
They
actually write that there. Lame, but we
I wonder why they didn't actually change it to get the time from your operating system. As long as JavaScript is enabled on the user's browser, you can easily get the time zone and time from the user.
And quite frankly, with their new admin channel, with all the, you know, collapsing stuff and moving things around and all that, you pretty much kind of have to have JavaScript on in order to use their admin panel now very effectively. So, yeah.
Obviously, you know, you still want a fallback option and you still want the user to be able to select what time zone it is, but it could at least autofill.
Yeah.
And you'd think it'd be able to detect the daylight savings time from the browser as well. Actually, it does, but the form software and the blog software, it doesn't actually take that data and do anything with it.
You just look at these things like Google Analytics and say, look at all the stuff we can get from the user, but we still can't figure out what time it is where they are. We can figure out what operating system they're using, what version of browser they're using, what kind of things that they can figure out, all of this, how long they stayed on the page, what pages they went to, what pages they came from, what time is it there? We don't know.
We know everything about that user's life, except what time it is for them.
You can't even come with a sundial to figure out.
We know what kind of peanut butter the user likes. We detect it from their browser, but we don't know what time it is for them.
Oh, dear, David.
Okay, so Guess Time Zone 2 by Terrafrost is the mod of the week.
Yeah.
All right, why don't you do the style of the week?
I lost the link.
Okay, well, here's the link in the chat room. This is the style of the week is called let's see, it's called Dirty Board 2.0.
Ah, that one.
There must have been one for PHPV2 to call it 2.0. I don't know why you would call it 2.0.
Why not?
So actually,
this is why was also 2.0. We got, it stays this 2.0 day, huh?
Yeah, today's a 2.0 day. Yeah. Yep, it is. Or the 2 day. This is the 2 day.
Two days.
So Dirty Board 2 by Abel. this is a very unique style. This is great. I love to see this kind of style. Very unique in everything that they did here. The whole layout, it looks like it's parchment paper set on top of a limestone background.
Limestone.
Yeah. Wouldn't that be the – I guess it looks – it's not really parchment paper. It looks more like a folder because see the paper clip up at the top?
Yeah.
And then there's
– kind of like a journal type of thing, you know?
Yeah, it is. So it's kind of like a folder. And then there is down at the bottom, there's sticky notes.
Yeah.
That they look like sticky notes offset, you know, and they have one of them contains powered by PHPBB, creating communities worldwide, Validex, HTML, and CSS. Your logo here. And then they have on the far right another like piece of tape, like you would take like a
for his
scotch tape.
Yeah.
And then you would like you would tape something to your desk. That's how he has it on there, and then written on there, Costa Nostra design something Costa Nostra.
Yeah, this is Abel Costa Nostra. He's the one of the winners. Remember that
we talked mm-hmm. about. Yeah. So this a. I mean, tell you, this style could win Style of the Year sort of award.
Oh boy!
Oh, if you move your mouse over the various forms,
yeah.
it has
read me,
read me, and then the link says visit me.
Oh boy, there's just so much to look at this sucker here. Oh boy,
wow. I love it. This is fantastic. I have never seen a style quite like this before.
How did I miss this, David? How do I miss this?
I don't. It's new release. It was because they have the latest styles. This is the second latest style.
Maybe you should do the style of the week for all the time from now on.
But it's fantastic. I love this style. This would be a style anybody could install and really enjoy.
Yeah, I want to get on Star Trek Guide.
We have so many on Star Trek Guide. I don't know if we could handle putting more on there.
Yeah. Need more. Oh, even up in the search bar, how he actually has a little circle around the go.
Yeah, I like that. That's
click. Where do I go to enter this search? Circle go.
Yeah, circle go. That's great. I love it.
Mm. Yeah. So links to the mod and style of this week will be on our website, phpbweekly.net.
Coming up next in our show.
Oops, I hit the wrong button. I wanted to hit this one.
Technical difficulties have occurred with the hosts of this podcast.
That's
please, do not adjust your broadband connection. Thank you.
Oh, I'm having so much fun with the sound effects thing, David. Those sound effects you don't even have.
Technical difficulties have occurred. That's very funny.
Yeah.
And now... here's our host to tell you more about what's coming up next. Host? Go, host. There you go, host.
And on that note, join us next week for episode number 91, Saturday, December 27th, noon Eastern time, 700 UTC time, the same normal one as usual. This will be our special end of the year 2008 in review episode, and I did this last year. When David was in the process of his move to Spokane. So David didn't join us me last time, but next year we get to do it together. And so essentially we're going to be a whole episode. We're going to take a look back at the year 2008, which was quite a busy year, PHPBB news and all that other fun stuff. And just sort of take a year in review and also some significant – take a look back at some of the significant milestones that – we had with PHPBB Weekly as well. We had quite an exciting year, a lot of fun, interesting things. So that's what we're going to be doing next Saturdays. It's going to be our New Year's edition of PHPBB Weekly, which will be quite exciting. Also, following that, New Year's Eve, we'll be releasing the Best of 2008 on PHP Weekly Clip Show, which I actually have to get started editing. But we have a lot of funny stuff we did this year, David. I've been looking back on our show notes. We've been having too much fun this year. Last year was kind of like, oh, serious stuff. You know, this year we can't goof off too much. And now we have sound effects. So, boy, we're going to be having a... I wonder what will happen if we'll be still in One Piece in 2009.
Still in One Piece, yeah, okay.
Yeah, but that'll be New Year's Eve, and New Year's Day will be our brand new website coming out, brand new album artwork, brand new everything, very exciting. I've been working on it. It's looking really, really cool. I haven't been this excited about releasing a new website since I got the new version of my blog, webmax37.info, out a year and a half ago, back in 2007, the one with the big galaxy scene and all that.
Mm-hmm.
It was cool. Yeah. So that's coming up in the next few weeks of PHP BB Weekly. Now, of course, we also have our wonderful forum at StarTrekGuide.com, the PHP BB Weekly podcast forum. If you have any suggestions about anything you want to share with us, or just other commentary, debate over how we pronounce people's names, other things that we do on the show, or maybe a petition to get us to stop playing these awkward sound effects, maybe. I won't start it, but if someone wants to, I'm sure someone has the idea. You can do that on our forum, StarTrekGuide.com, PHP BB Weekly podcast. And PHP BB Weekly is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. For other great technology podcasts, check out techpodcast.com. Or also check out 24hrpodcast.com for the 24-hour podcast that will be going on for the next, I guess he's got 21 hours left. Best of luck to you out there, Todd. Our friend on Talk Show. And so that's it for today's episode. Everybody, Merry Christmas. Happy Holidays. Happy Hanukkah, Ramadan, Kwanzaa, All Saints Day, David's Left Foot Day, whatever you want to call it. Packing Assassinate Day. I mean, that's in March.
Well, I hope everybody has a Merry Christmas.
Yeah.
And we will talk to everybody after Christmas.
Yes, indeed. And, of course, as always, when you go ho-ho-hoing and Santa Clausing, continue to remember that a successful community begins with you. Tag.
You're it.
Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week. Bye, everybody.
Bye, everyone.
Grandma got run over by a reindeer walking home from our house Christmas Eve. You can say there's no such thing as Santa, but as for me and Grandpa, we believe she'd been drinking too much eggnog, and we begged her not to go. But she forgot her medication, and she staggered out the door into the snow. When we found her Christmas morning at the scene of the attack, she had hoof prints on her forehead and incriminating claws marks on her back. Grandma got run over by a reindeer walking home from our house Christmas Eve. Now you can say there's no such thing as Santa, but as for me and Grandpa, we believe.
Sing it, Grandpa.
Grandma got run over by a reindeer walking home from our house Christmas Eve. You can say there's no such thing as Santa, but as for me and Grandpa, we believe.